Mission Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan, and I'm on the motorcycle.
I'm Murrin, and I'm in the sidecar.
I'm Johan. I think I'm in the van. Where'd you guys go?
You're in a van?
Where'd you go?
Where'd you get a van?
I'm just in the back of it.
All right, cool. Everybody, we all need that van guy.
Yeah.
We're at minute 14. Welcome. Hump day. This scene begins with Berlin. We see Berlin, Germany. We didn't really talk about it in the last minute, but we're going to Berlin, guys. Hey. It's our first overseas part of this movie that we know of.
It says Berlin on the screen, so we know we're in Berlin.
Yeah, because the conference is here.
Yeah, the conference. Thank goodness they put the country.
Oh, the Transpo Confo?
Yeah, Transpo Confo.
The Transpo Confo?
Transpo Confo. And it ends on red balls.
Sweet.
That's true. Can't argue with that.
I like that at first it just types up Berlin and then like Germany.
Okay. Cool.
Cool.
Oh, not Berlin, Indiana. All right.
I actually like the shot where, it says Berlin, Germany, and then it turns out we're looking at a puddle. You got the best puddles in Germany, and Tom Cruise is running through the puddle. I think it's nice.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is doing a little skulking.
It's a nice transition. Yeah, he's scurrying about, is what my note said. He's scurrying here and there.
This might have to be part of the next cruise run. Have somebody grab a pole and run with it like you're Tom Cruise carrying a very large automatic weapon.
But you're sneaking around, so you got to be quiet.
Because this is not normal Tom. I mean, we all know this is not normal Tom Cruise run.
No, it's a different circumstance. The normal Tom Cruise run is like he has to run as fast as he can to get somewhere as quickly as he can. And this is more like he's sneaking around. This is Splinter Cell Tom Cruise.
This is our first run of the movie.
That's true.
There's no way you can run this quietly with this, though.
Well, he's laden down like a pack mule. Yeah. He's got like five laptops strapped to his body somehow.
I think that's part of the IMF training. Yeah. How quietly can you run while carrying a large load?
Hello.
And I did that all through high school as a virgin.
Oh, God.
Oh, that kind of load, too.
Oh, man. You got to get those sidecars taken care of. Got to be someone that can help you with that, Johan.
I've heard of blue balls, but I don't know about red balls.
I was an awkward nerd. They happen to everybody.
Hey.
Oh, me too.
Hello.
Man.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you're just saying hello to our entire audience. Hello, audience.
Hello.
Hello.
I just had more people agreeing with me. All right. So let's go over like everything that he's carrying. He has this MP5. He has his backpack. He's got, I don't know how many rounds of ammo because this is supposed to be the fourth run he's done with all this equipment.
Yeah.
It's a metric shit ton of bullets. He's got the double, what's that called? Double magazine.
Yeah.
This is the Barrett M82.
Yes.
82A1. So for all you gun nerds, this is, and with the double magazine, the two round side things. If you're playing Call of Duty, if you're playing Modern Warfare or Warzone like I am, that's one of the guns you can
get. Put down your Monster Energy drink and your Cheetos and listen up.
Yeah, and they are equipped with 50 round mags or 50 caliber rounds. So this is incredibly heavy.
That's beefy.
Yeah, it is. And he did this four times.
It's taller than him.
Yeah.
I actually don't know how much it weighs. I couldn't find weight. I could find length, and I could find barrel length, but I could not find weight of a Barrett M. Maybe I was just looking the wrong place. I'm just wondering, is it like over 50 pounds? Is it 100 pounds? Yeah, nothing. I'm right.
29 to 31 pounds.
Oh, that's not so bad. Well, that's still...
But that's like without anything really attached to it. He's got the tripod. He's got all the magazines, the drum magazines and everything.
It's got a camera on it. Yeah. It's got a heat-seeking infrared camera on it.
It has to have some sort of like GPS or something on it as well. I mean, there is no router here, so you must have been setting it up.
I think we learned in previous weeks that Maggie Q was an expert in LAN.
Mm-hmm.
Local area network, so we now know where that was coming in handy.
Very useful.
She's the one that's like, I got it.
It's one of those boring skills, but it's actually really useful. You really want someone who knows that.
And this is the second time that Luther has like put out an olive branch trying to reconnect with Ethan. In the last minute, he said, "Welcome back, brother," which is like a very compatriots in arms kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this one, he's like, when he runs back over to Luther, he's like, "You know, I've got your six." And instead of saying, "Thanks, man," it's, "That's your job." We get from Ethan. It's a little terse.
Yeah.
I feel like Luther's trying to reconnect with Ethan.
I think that's a good good assessment of the dramatic situation going on between these two. Good job.
Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about it. You think you just hit the nail on the head. Like that. I always like Luther's definitely not doing the running in this. Like Tom Cruise is going to like, here, you set up these four guns. You got to pick this up, run it over there, then come back, get another one, run over there, pick up another one, run over there. Pick up another one, run over there. This is the part of the video game that would be like, okay, run over to this thing, press circle. Oh, no, you got to stand. No, not there. You got to stand in front of it. Then you press circle and you pick it up and you have to, and then your character will walk slower.
Yeah, when Luther, you have that. Luther's NPC will not update until you've put these four guns in the correct place. You keep going back to them.
You can't proceed to the next level until you do this boring task.
Yeah, you also won't get the true ending unless you put all four of them up.
Like you can't 100% it until you do, unless you do all four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ethan is Luther in this one is much more Shaft Luther than in the last one. He was more Versace Luther.
Mm-hmm.
He dressed a lot nicer. This one, he's a little more Shaft, a little more Richard Roundtree. He's got the little sailors.
This would be Samuel L. Jackson at this point.
Okay.
He's,
yeah.
He's my generation's Shaft.
Sure. Sure. We talked about Pintos, but you want to talk about Samuel L. Jackson, your Shaft. I got you. I like the setup because I'm like, ooh, what's this big, cool gun? And it's got a bunch of weird stuff on it. So I'm like, is Luther going to shoot people? This seems brutal, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
Well, have we seen Luther be deadly yet in these movies? And I'm going back and thinking, I'm like, Mission Impossible 2, is Luther ever even in danger? He just flies around in that helicopter and clickety-clacks on his thing. So this is the first time we're getting him like black ops, kind of black bagging it, kind of like, I am there to kill and murder terrorists and or whoever these bad guys are.
Still going to do it with his computer, but...
He's going to do it with his computer, yes. But in their other movies, I don't know if he... I'm trying to think back to him actively doing something that would hurt somebody. And I can't think of anything.
I can't either, although you would know better than I.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I have a very faulty memory, though, so.
I don't remember ever. He sits at the computer. He helps, he's more about, like, protecting. He watches the six.
Yep.
That's his job.
That's your job, man.
Yeah.
That's your job, man.
That's your job.
So after he drops off those four guns, he runs off into the night. Ethan, look at their watches. Actually, it looks like Luther's just putting... I can't tell if Luther's putting something in a gun. I can't tell what Luther's doing, actually. Let's be honest. I don't know what he's doing. He's looking down at something. Maybe it's just to make sure that the local area network is secure. He's really, looking at some sort of...
It's really helpful for an actor to have a task to do during a scene. So it might not be anything. It might be something he just made up.
He's checking to make sure all green lights are blinking.
Yeah.
But here's my thing about Ethan when he comes back to see Luther. If he's really trying to be coarse about trying to reconnect with him, he goes back to him for no reason.
I think that was to synchronize their watches. They both looked at their watch and maybe. Then ran away. I don't know.
They should have done that first, right?
Yeah, I think he would synchronize first. But maybe they didn't want to synchronize until they had all the guns in place and they had like everything. I don't know.
Yeah, because Ethan darts back in the same direction he came back from. And he didn't go back to that hiding spot to get his gun because he had it in the run. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe he's playing hard to get. We're trying to reconnect with him. He's like, he doesn't want his heart to get hurt that bad again. So he's like,
sure, because he's going to have to say goodbye to him at the end of this again and go back to
Luther's,
his house.
Luther's
got to
earn my love again.
Yeah, so...
It's funny that syncing up the watches that's another thing that wouldn't be a thing now, right?
Mm.
Because now, like, every watch and cell phone has a radio connection to the actual time, right?
But aren't they syncing their watches to? I guess you're right. I'm sure, but military guys mostly wear still real chronometers. They still wear like old fashioned, what we would call old fashioned watches, like actual mechanical watches.
Now, yeah, now that I think of it, there must be a reason for that. Like if it's a radio connection, then that, you know, if something could go wrong with that and then you just don't have the time anymore. But if it's just a mechanical thing,
I think it's down to the second. It may even be the way they were trained. Like they could look at a watch and they can watch the hand moving, and that's more precise than a digital watch counting down. I don't know. I'm such a gearhead. I didn't have time to be a big military guy.
So you talk about gearhead, but yeah, car gears, not gears of a watch.
Yeah, I don't know that kind of stuff.
Different kind of gears. They're tiny. Speaking tiny of gears, little gears.
Speaking of gears, we'll get to the dirty van.
Yeah.
Luther runs to the dirty van. This is the Ziegelhut. You saw that on the side, right?
Yeah.
The
Ziegelhut.
The Ziegelhut. You know what that is in German?
Secret base.
Yes, that means secret base in German. It means brick hut.
Oh.
She's a brick hut.
I think they're from, I think they may be in the town of or near the town of Ziegelhut. Ziegelhut is an actual town in Germany. And because it did say Berlin, comma, Germany, but it may be the outskirts. It's a small town. I also found a place that it was called the Ziegelhut that's a gastropub in Germany. And we can go there anytime we want. Has 754 five-star reviews, in case you're wondering.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. German, it's a gastropub in a simple rural college serving Wiener Schnitzel, Veal Schnitzel, plus Sunday buffet brunch in the garden. Well, I bet that brunch stuff's not going on right now, but, you know, everything else sounds wonderful.
You know, they'll deliver. They're open for takeout and delivery.
Yep.
You can use his dirty van. maybe that's what this van was. It's a delivery van for the Ziegelhut gastropub.
Yep. And so he jumps in the dirty van, and it is our good old fashioned Luther hole of of widgets and gidgets and gadgets.
This is a very wide van.
Well, it's got sidecars.
Yeah. Because you have to assume that there is some sort of protective layer within the van.
For like, what? Smells?
No. Like being attacked. Like it's not just going to be aluminum. Like it's got to have like an inch of something or half an inch of something.
Oh, you think this is a tactical van? But they leave this van. I don't think it is.
I think you have to do it. I mean,
why?
Just in case. Always. Oh, always be prepared.
Okay. But they're never prepared. Luther's been pulled out of that van in many a movie.
That's true.
He's taken out easily.
Yeah.
Remember, he almost blew up in 2 with the bomb underneath the van.
Yeah.
Yet another van that they stuffed him in. In the first one, he was inside of a fire engine at the beginning of the movie. And at the end of the movie, he was just in that metal tube with everybody else.
They're dispensable for sure. But I guess I'm kind of with you, Johan. If they have the time to set up all his computers and stuff and like sort of make it look disguised and everything, like they might as well put up some, I don't know. Seems like they might as well put up some kind of protective stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe behind the computers, there's like a small piece of tinfoil.
Yeah. But it's still incredibly wide.
Wait, what are we talking about now? Luther or the van?
Let's say both.
Okay.
He fits right in.
He jumps into this giant van. It's funny. It's a very wide van with a very small door.
Yeah.
You know what? You may
be that's
right.
Between the two seats, I'm assuming.
When he does get in there, that little door thing comes down like it's like an armor plated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be weird if that's the only thing that they made that was like protective.
They just burned the rest of it around him and there's just the doors left.
Yeah. Yeah. But look at the results of this door on this testing, huh?
Then we see, oh my God, it's Tech of the Epps wet dream. It is things that were to life. And these keyboards he's turning on, and as he turns them on, they elevate. Why? Why do they elevate?
I don't know. That was actually going to be my question. I don't understand the concept of it elevating.
It's not.
What's worse for your hands?
Elevated. You need to have a rest for a wrist rest. That's what's good for your ergonomic stuff. So if they're raised, if they're elevated, then that's going to be, you're going to have to like hold your wrist in an awkward position.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about the red balls earlier, but these red balls, one, a J.J. Abrams staple, giant red ball of something. This is a giant red ball.
They can operate anything.
Yeah, well, Star Trek, there's a giant red ball of unafradium or whatever the hell it's called that, you know, creates black holes, and then the and on Alias he also had there's a giant black red ball of something.
Yeah, so he turns on each station by keystroke. The keyboard goes up to make it fancy, but does he use a keyboard other than to turn it on?
Like I don't know.
He just awakens it from like its screensaver.
And then he uses the red tracking balls.
Ball. Yeah. So what was the point? Yeah, what was the point in adding so much stuff to the keyboard?
As we learned in the first movie, he likes to get that really nice stuff. Like he likes to get those crays with the logic plates. You know, he always goes for like the crazy. You know that on this mission, he'd be the one that like gets. They're always like, Jesus, this mission was only supposed to be like $100,000. It's $7 million, Luther. You've bought four. Count them, four of these computers.
I need a screen for each gun.
Yeah. As someone who used to use those trackballs suck. Carpal tunnel with that one that you're looking at is a modified version of the Kensington Expert mouse. I used to use one. It was a trackball and it has four buttons around it. And like the left one is your left one, the right one's your right one, but you also had ones down below that you could use for other things. I used to use it as like shift and other things. There were lots of different things you could use them for. You could, you know, tailor them. But my wrist, like the inside of my wrist hurts so bad after using them. Because I used to be, when I was designing stuff, I have to move around like this all the time. So I'm doing this motion. I'm showing you guys more like a wave.
Yeah.
And it just hurt. My wrist was killing me at the end of the day.
I feel like
I had to go back to a regular mouse.
Those tracking balls always have something sticky on them too. In my experience,
you get one granular piece of, you know, whatever, you know, that goo that gets on everybody, the bottom of everybody's mouse.
Yeah.
Look at your mouse right now. There's probably some sort of gray or brown, or not brown, but gray goo. It's just like from friction on the table.
Yeah.
And it hits that trackball, it's like, ta-tunk, and you can't roll it anymore. It literally gets stuck. And you take the whole controller, flip it over, let the ball fall out, clean the ball, clean the rollers inside that track the ball. Sucks. I hate that thing.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing he got these. I'm pretty sure he traded it for protection in the van. He's like, could have had protective bulletproof plating. He's like, no, I got to have that keyboard lift and these tracking balls that hurt my wrist.
Do you think the keyboards lift up because Luther has really big hands? And so that's where his hands naturally rest? 3 inches above the table.
Sure.
It's not his hand that's big. It's his wrist that becomes big at that point.
Yeah,
it's just a really, he has like a double jointed wrist that just like sticks up in a weird way.
Like it looks like he's wearing a bangle at all time, but no, it's just the radius of his, or the circumference of his wrist.
I like that each time he activates a keyboard, there's a little voice that says computer activated. And it happens each time. And I have to imagine, like, the fourth time you're activating those and you hear that little voice, I'd want to punch it. Mm-hmm. It's like Siri Jr. It's like the Siri voice is, like, more human and less annoying than that voice.
Also, I don't know that I need it. It's funny that we get yet another annoying little light over in the corner. If you look over in the left-hand side of where next to the trackball is the last shot of this, you actually have another countdown clock. He had the exact same countdown clock in the first movie, which I thought was funny.
Hmm.
He's just big on time, I guess. We'll talk about these trackballs a little bit more in the next minute because I want to go into it there, like how he uses them. So do you guys have any other things you want to talk about today, though?
No, but it seems like he programmed each computer by number. Or is it just me? Or is it saying like computer 4 or 4 activated?
Knowing me, I would do that, but then I would accidentally have trackball 1 on computer 4, and I'd be like switching them out really quickly. Oh God! like I accidentally messed it up at some point.
Yeah, he's got a real like Neil Peart drum set of computers there, where it's like all he has to swivel around to get to all the keyboards. There's probably something behind him. There's like a gong behind him that he has to use sometimes.
It's a giant escape button.
He just punches it.
Do you think that it has like a quick escape hatch that maybe shoots him out?
an ejecto-cedo cuz situation?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sideways. Yeah.
But sideways.
If his seat just shoots out sideways, that'd be awesome. but it's on like tank treads. So when it shoots out, it just lands on tank treads. It just keeps driving him sideways, like all the way, like just keeps going. That'd be badass.
He has a little he has a little sidecar that he turns into, and you can just drive around in that.
He is a sidecar.
He is a sidecar.
That would be kind of awesome.
I am
like
a sidecar.
I am a sidecar.
And the wheel is just one giant red ball.
It's a track ball. Oh, those balls fall on the ground, and they turn into the wheels.
Perfect.
But it's really slow, because those wheels have a very small radius, so they're just like, rinky, 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 rinky. It's like rolling away. It's basically like rolling away on a bunch of pool balls.
Okay. Yeah, gather round, everyone. Put down your Monster Energy drinks and your
Cheetos. Hold on, wait. We should introduce that Chris joined us. Okay.
There's gonna be some fun outtakes.
Guy. Hey, you know what? Who better than to? Okay. Before we get to the, hey, Mern's gonna tell us a story. But before he does, look who's here, Chris.
Who? I've come out of the closet finally.
Who
well, let the Chris
it's Pride
out?
Month, so who? Welcome.
Who is John Woo and Brian De Palma let me out?
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. Hey, they're pretty, that sounded pretty fun to hang out with.
They are.
Yeah, I was in between hoo-ahs, you know? Hoo-ahs and yahoos. Or yee-haw, that's what it is. It's a yee-haw. So, yeah. Go on with your
Welcome.
Story. Thank you.
Murren, please tell us the story for the first time of how.
Gather around, Minute Impossible listeners. Let me tell you a story about a 23-year-old Murren. Or maybe 24. Yeah, I think it was 24.
What's he wearing at that point?
Oh, I was living in Yosemite National Park. I was doing a children's show.
Ooh.
I was living that dirty foot hippie life.
So you were basically Yogi Bear.
Yeah, I was kind of Yogi Bear. Ooh. I taught kids about good camping skills and like the history of the park and stuff.
Did you ride around in a donkey and stuff?
I did ride a horse at one point, just because we got discounts on like the activities. But I didn't do that for transportation. We just walked.
No, I was gonna say, is that like transportation? That's what I was.
No, that would,
you gotta go to a transpo convo. No,
they don't
transpo
yeah.
convo exactly. pretending to be Maverick on the donkey. Yeah,
I wish that would have been pretty fun if they gave everyone a donkey just to get around on. But no, I was living there, and there wasn't much to do except hike and do our job and just kind of walk around and stuff. But we had a laptop, and we'd set it up on top of the bear-proof food thing, and we watched movies.
Picnic baskets. It's called a rock. That's called a rock, Mark.
Well, it had a. You could open it up. It was like a fake rock then.
Oh, cool.
Ooh, fancy.
You keep the bears out, the food and everything. But we had some movies. We didn't get internet. You had to go to the one place in the park to get internet. But they had DVDs at the community center that you could rent for free, and one of them was Mission Impossible 3. I don't think they had any of the other ones, but they had that one.
What year was this, just so I know?
This was 2014.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got what they could get. They had Independence Day. I'm trying to remember what others we rented there.
Do you think it's like a Lost and Found? Like, it's whatever DVDs
I think so.
Are laying
they,
around.
I remember they also had Jurassic Park 3, but not in the other ones.
And why do they keep having threes?
Threes. I was going to say, they got a lot of threes.
They got a lot of three. Yeah, a lot of the third movie in the series.
Got Rocky 3. Got the third Karate Kid. Ugh.
Tokyo Drift.
Oh, that's great.
Tokyo Drift, I'd have been psyched to watch that. I don't think they had any of those that I remember. But anyway, we watched this movie. My friend that I was working with, he was like, yeah, this one's pretty good. It's got Philip Seymour Hoffman in it. I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And we watched it, and I remember enjoying it quite a bit, honestly. I mean, maybe it was just sort of a... I think every movie seemed better when I was there because there was so little entertainment of any other kind. And we're grateful to get what we
could get. I've been there before, not to that. But, I mean, I've been in a situation where there's, like, no entertainment. You're out in the mountains or the woods, and, like, any movie is, like, great.
Yeah, we watched all of Jurassic Park 3, I believe.
Oh, my God.
And that was... I'll tell you, this movie definitely better than Jurassic Park 3, I would say.
Oh, It's your first recommendation of the week.
Yeah, sure. I guess the movie that we've been talking about this whole time. I kind of like this movie. I was hearing you guys kind of showing all the you're talking about all the flaws and how it's it looks like TV and stuff. And I guess I can't debate that, but I was sort of coming
sure
in.
You can.
I guess I could. I don't have like the expertise in filmmaking that Chris has, though. Like, you know, in editing and all that.
I don't have it. I just have a degree in it. I don't know anything.
What am I saying? This is a podcast. This is where people who don't know anything talk about stuff they pretend to
again,
know of everything.
Again, wave to our audience, everybody.
Hello.
Nerds in high school virgins that didn't know anything, but now are experts in their fields.
Yeah, anyway, I would say I was getting ready to be like, okay, I'm going to defend this movie. I think it's pretty great. I really enjoy it. I watched it again this afternoon so I could, you know, have it fresh in my mind because it's been 6 years. And it's fallen in my mind just a little bit, but I'd still say overall I enjoy it. I would say it's better than Mission Impossible 2. And if you watch it in...
Really?
Yeah. I for me, the villain counts for a lot. And the villain in Mission Impossible 2 is garbage. And
how dare you? How dare you? You have a lot of balls.
I'm not gagging for it.
Finger.
I'm not gagging for it.
So, in other words, you like my interpretation of the bad guy, but as the movie's interpretation of the bad guy, you're not happy with.
Yeah, I would say so. Okay. He cuts off a dude's finger. That's kind of cool. Or his thumb. That's kind of cool.
It's pinky.
Okay. Pinky. That's a good moment.
That's like the thumb. That's like the, look, the sidecars of your hand are your pinky and your thumb.
Okay, here's the thing. I was just like, oh yeah, his name was Hugh, right? But no, Hugh was the other guy.
Hugh's
the better character.
Yeah, Hugh would have been the greatest bad guy ever.
Exactly.
Instead, we got him, not Hugh.
Ambrose.
Ambrose, that's his name. Anyway, I like Philip Seymour Hoffman in this. I like how bored he is. He's just kind of like throws away every line.
That is exactly what we said the first week. The week that's actually out right now while we're talking.
Well, yeah, because I listened to that and I realized, oh, that's what it is. I like that. I like that he's
basically
bored.
He bails on it. He bails halfway through. He's like, I'm gonna. He's just kind of like doing it
as a favor for Tom. And doing it for the coke and heroin money. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. I have a Philip Seymour Hoffman story too.
Ooh.
Oh my God! Well, okay. Before we do that,
we'll save that for the next one.
So, if you're going to rate the movie, so you would say 1, 3, 2.
Yeah, I barely remember one, but I remember liking it. I guess so. I think I'd say 1, 3, 2.
Okay, because right now we're doing a thing where we're rating kind of like the movies we've done, and I am still 1, 2, 3 at this point.
Interesting.
That's me too. 1, 2, 3.
But 2 only because of this podcast.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you don't know if you're going to like a movie, and then you do a whole podcast about it that takes like half a year, and then you're like, I kind of like this movie now. You become friends with it.
Johan, do you have any stories to tell before we go to Tech of the App?
No. I saw this when I was working at AT&T. I downloaded it onto my iPod Touch.
For free?
For free. Yeah, no, I paid good money for it. Good money. And
take about 2 hours.
Watch
to
it while I was working. Yeah. I think it was. Yeah. And then just watch it while I was helping out people that didn't understand the internet.
What's your rating so far of 1, 2, and 3?
About the same as Murren, 1, 3, 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it didn't do a whole lot for me the cinematography of it. Like, I know it's a John Woo film, but it didn't do it for me.
No, this is filmmaker. Like, yes. He does have a better, John Woo is crazy in John Woo, but it sometimes feels a little amateurish with some tricks. Whereas I think this is a competent filmmaker. He's just young.
Yeah.
At this point.
And John Woo's tricks worked for the films that he did, like Hard Boiled, etc. Like, it worked there. But then when you moved it to this, it just didn't seem to feel right to have those same exact themes.
Like, I even like some of his, I like Hard Target. But like, I feel like Mission Impossible just isn't crazy enough for John Woo. It's like too like toned down for him.
Yeah. Like to have
you're more of a Broken Arrow kind of guy.
Yeah. Like to have like something that's supposed to be kind of like a thriller and a couple of silent moments where he's skulking around. It just didn't work as well. Okay. You know, without a couple gunshots every 2 to 3 seconds and something loud and a punch.
Totally valid. All right. Well, then let's all crouch down, and we're going to run as fast as we can into the tech of the app. Here we go. You were panting. All right, now we got to sync our watches. You guys ready?
ASMR Cruise is back.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Actually, I just breathed really hard, and I think I just over hyperventilated a little. That doesn't make me feel good.
No. Don't stand up too quickly.
I know. Well, I'm crouching, so I'm good.
Okay.
Crouching tiger.
Well, Chris, we're going to make you do Tech of the App first because you're late.
Okay.
Late people got to do Tech of the App first.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's fine with that. I'm going to go with more of a technique of the app.
I don't even know what that is. Is that new? Oh, no.
No, no. I mean,
yeah. Technique of the app week.
Technique of the apps. I'm going to go with the technique of using the music for the plot from the original Mission Impossible show. And Giacchino uses it so well in this sequence. In this whole last minute part of this one, and this minute, and then the next couple minutes. It's just, I love that he uses it, and I love that how well it's integrated and natural into what he's doing.
Byron just mentioned it at the beginning of this episode. He loves this music cue.
I love it too. Yeah, and I love that he's bringing it back when he was in Mission Impossible 4. And then I love that the new composers bring it in Fallout as well. So it's great.
All right, what about you, Murren?
I mean, it's the trackballs, man. I mean,
trackballs, bro. Balls.
I think that they're red. They're good visually. Luther seems to really, really like them. In my fan fiction of him, at least, he loves them. He, as we talked about, he requested them specifically because that's how he rolls. He doesn't use regular mouse.
He's got the balls.
That's literally how he rolls.
Yeah.
Like you can imagine him just like rolling across his house just on a set of trackballs. That's how he gets from one place to another.
He was like centipede champion when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And sometimes
he has rollerblades, but he has augmented them. They just have one single ball on the foot of each one so he can just roll around like he's in the future.
Yeah. The only arcade games he plays that has a trackball on it, Crystal Castle, Arkanoid, stuff like that.
Centipede.
Yeah.
And sometimes when he gets tired of sitting in that office chair, he can get on the floor and use it to roll out his back.
Yeah.
Get out that knot.
Well, he does have those bad knees. So, I mean,
Does have those bad knees. I'm going to go with the useless keyboard razor.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Computer on.
Was it Ambrose the computer now? Computer
yes.
On. Computer.
Well, actually, it was kind of Scotty. Computer. Computer.
Just talking into the mouse.
Yeah. But yeah, it's
that's certainly one of those like J.J. Abrams like, oh, we have to have it do this so that way it looks like we're a more expensive movie than we are.
I guess. How much time and effort do you think went into creating that? That's a lot of extra work. They're like, some guy sitting in there in the prop room, like, I gotta make a keyboard that raises up out of the other part of the keyboard.
I have to make four of them.
The director, the kid director, said he wanted it. Now I gotta spend all week doing that shit.
Yeah, that was definitely some PA's
job. Who am I, some kind of Declan Gormley here?
Am I a hyper intelligent pilot? No. What about you, Johan?
So I was thinking about the keyboard, but really I'm going to talk about the self-sealing door in the van, because that is probably the most secure thing that he's had in that van for a while.
Self-sealing. I like that.
Because he never touched it. He walked through, he walked past, and it goes back down.
It probably scanning for meats.
Yeah.
Yes, he has the meats. Close. Only enter if you have the meats.
Has acquired Slim Jims.
Thank God I run around with Slim Jims in my pocket all the time.
Snap into them.
Like later on, you see like in the front of the van, it looks like there's just piles and piles of fast food packages. Like the idea Luther just runs out and grabs things to this van all the time.
Yeah, it's from Ziegel Hut.
Yeah, they went to Ziegel Hut about Wiener-Sinsel 50 times in the last week while they were planning this thing.
They kept asking, does the van have a nubbin?
Yeah.
I got. What do you mean? What's a nubbin? It's a thing on top. It's like a. It looks like a boob. Do you have a boob for the top of this?
Yeah, it could have. Yeah, could be Wiener-Schnitzel packaging just everywhere. I mean, he's in the right place for it.
It's true.
Yeah, it's a German company. It's a German restaurant. Authentic.
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 All right, great place to end. We'll come back Friday for, I almost say it every time, we'll come back Friday for minute 15, and Chris will be here. So yay, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And we've got a little. And until then, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I'm Murray.
I've been Johan.
Okay. We just said it at the same time. It's cool.
Yeah. It's fine. I can edit it.
But urine.
This episode was self-destruct in 4, 3.
Another counter.
One.
I'm all for the counter.